up and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Doug Eddy, Tim Keller, and Tyler Gunther. Bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in season or off season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Doug, Tim, and Tyler with another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour. It is the Doug, the Tim, and last and certainly least, it is Tyler. The original crew is back together for the first time in what seems like weeks, months, years. It's been a while, but we are back. Tyler, what's new with you?
Well, where should I start? It has been 4 weeks of just torture. I have been on Twitter asking around if I could podcast with anybody. I have single-handedly destroyed the Trade Addicts podcast with Peter Howard. That is no longer available. And I am happy to be back. I am suited up, like I said, on the Trade Addicts pod. I usually suit up for my own podcast. Usually for other podcasts, I wear just sweatpants and sweatshirt, and I eat cheese puffs and don't wash my hands style type podcast.
I see all the dust all over your microphone.
Yes.
It's pretty gross, dude. You should probably take care of that.
I am also suited up, but that just means I'm wearing a condom. So I like to be safe when
The one person who's not having a kid in this area. Yes.
Because I went and made sure I wasn't going to have any more, fellas. I went and sat in that bag of peas after a little, you know, 1 hour procedure. And
I'll be scheduled for that move sometime in the next couple months. So we will be, maybe we should change the name of the podcast to Dynasty Snippets or something.
Tied together.
I like it. We were just
the Dynasty Vaz Deferens.
We were just talking about Taco from the league
delivering you all the goo
and his fun names for stuff. Tim shaking his
tied head. Together.
I'm terrible.
Tied together. So we this week we are bringing you for the first time ever our inaugural 25 and under, which means to you this
you gotta like them young.
Wow, that.
All right, this has been the Dynasty Happy Hour.
We just got shut down.
Tim, yes. Just joined Nambla. He will not be back with us. Apologies, guys.
Nambla.
So it's 25 players, 25 and younger, that we are thinking that they're going to jump in a tier. So maybe you had a wide receiver 3. We think he's going to move to wide receiver 2. Maybe he was a bench guy that you think is going to be startable. I've got some pretty deep ones. The rest of the guys are a little chalky. I gave them some crap about it, but it's fine. It's fine. You guys are cool. We're good. I got those deep takes, those deep cuts. I'm giving you the.
You definitely do go deeper than Tyler.
I'm giving you the indie rock deep cuts you've never heard. I'm giving you the mixtapes from the street I just bought out of a dude's trunk on cassette type deals.
Yeah, but I saw you burning those on Napster and putting them on CDs.
Yeah, that is true. I had a special device to do that. And we're also going to bring you some news. There's been quite a bit of news this past week. One that rocked Dynasty to its core.
That was fun. Can I say that? That was so fun to just watch Twitter burn.
Yeah, it was. So if you lived in a rock or maybe you're on vacation for the last 7 to 10 days and you're just getting back from a cruise from the Mediterranean, first of all, congrats because it's beautiful.
Yeah, speaking of that, JP, he's in freaking South Beach right now.
South Beach, that's for faceless pores. South Beach, whatever. Yeah, I like cocaine too. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
JP with the nose candy, cool. What's the Dynasty trade calculator say for a kilo?
Here's a guy.
Hey man, I'll give you Darius Geis for a kilo. I got it in my calculator. It's a good trade.
It's a good trade.
Come on, man. Come on.
Oh, man.
We love JP.
Did you see him run in a straight line? You want to see what else is going to run in a straight line? Oh, let's go. He's doing it off like a broken Corona bottle. Just anywho, we love you, JP. So Kareem Hunt signs a 1-year deal with the Cleveland freaking Browns, and Twitter loses its cool. Everyone's like, Nick Chubb is done. Sell Nick Chubb. And people are like, wait a minute. Like, Kareem Hunt's going to get suspended, which we still don't know how long it is. Tyler goes out and, like, sells the 1-1 to get Nick Chubb, and everyone's giving him crap because, you know, Tyler loves to pull moves like that to kind of stir things up a little bit. So, Tyler, why don't you walk us through that process of how that trade how you got to that point in the trade?
Pretty much, I would rather have Nick Chubb over everybody in this draft class. He is easily the 101. He's way ahead of Josh Jacobs for me. And the way I look at it is Kareem Hunt is going to be suspended for 6 games easily.
Minimum,
like
minimum,
that's the minimum. And from what I heard from other people, it could be up to 12.
From Eric Decker's uncle, I believe you heard that from.
Yes, his uncle, once again, very good source. He has told me that it could be 12. And 12 is actually...
is your source Benjamin Albright? You guys kissed and made up. It's
no,
Benjamin Albright, isn't it?
No.
Okay.
But right. I just... You got to look at it this way. Nick Chubb's a guy that seems like he's just going to dominate when he's playing. He's going to get the starting job. When he's running as well as I think he's going to start off doing, and Kareem Hunt comes back from suspension, do you think Cleveland's going to be like, all right, Nick, get out of here. We're going to put this guy that has not played in forever into the starting lineup. You're out. Like,
so
he, of course he's going
to
get carried.
Not only has he not played, he will not be able to practice or be at the team facility as well. He will not be able to have contact with the team. So essentially he shouldn't know the playbook. He shouldn't.
Yeah. They'll give him a nice loaded iPad. Oh, here's a courtesy iPad from the team. It doesn't have plays on it. Mm-mm, no way.
It's from
that automatically gets an update every week with new game.
It's
film.
Not, it's not on
I
a
mean,
private
games.
VPN. Uh-uh. No way.
Yeah. But no, Nick Chubb, can we all agree Nick Chubb is 101 easily if he's in this draft class?
In this class,
as of right now, yes.
Yeah. That's the thing. Even if Jacobs does well or Montgomery, I still think Nick Chubb, we've seen what he can do, and that was with playing, I think. That was
one of these guys is going to have to put up Saquon Barkley numbers at the combine in order for me to move them above Chubb, and that's not happening.
Yeah, it's Nick Chubb easily for me, and it's in the UDPL, and I know how Shane kind of reacts, and I instantly went to him. Right when I heard the news, I looked at his team, and I said, Shane, I'm coming for you, and I talked with him, and it went from doing 102 and 108, which he offered me, and I couldn't do that because the value of those is going to go up, and then I told him 102, and then I thought to myself, it's got to be higher than 102. I mean, it's Nick Chubb. So I told him, I'm like, I'm willing to give 101 for him. And he won a little more, so we swapped 2021 third and seconds. I got the third, he got the second. We swapped that, and deal was done. And I am very happy with it. And the whole reason is because I don't need receiver in that league as much as I need running back. And Doug, you destroyed me with your running backs in the championship. So I have gone out this offseason and gotten Saquon, and I've gotten Chubb. So I am coming for you.
Cool. I'll put on my deflector shields. I'm the champ. You ain't coming. It's, you know, we'll you know what we'll do is we'll podcast through the season and we'll give everyone updates on how that league's doing. Yeah.
It's a fun league.
It is a fun league. I tried to trade you Cortland Sutton for the 1-2, and you weren't having it, so. Yeah, that's fine. It's fine. So Kareem Hunt, here's the thing. I think the Browns are a smarter organization. I don't necessarily think they picked up Kareem Hunt to play him at all.
Agreed.
I think if he does get suspended, let's say he gets suspended for 6 games. We see how many injuries happen at the running back position. You can turn a veteran minimum deal with incentives and maybe flip it for a third or fourth round pick. Why not?
They turn Carlos Hyde into a fifth round pick. Like, they're not scared to make moves like that. We've seen that. And
it's like
Hyde
when,
was
it's
signed.
Like when Houston got rid of Brock Osweiler and made like
that was like $18 million though. We're talking about $1 million.
No, 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 no,
one
I
million.
So speaking of $18 million quarterbacks. Joe Flacco now.
Whoa, that's elite, Joe Flacco.
He is
to
elite.
You, sir.
Just remember, you can't spell elite without Eli. So you can never forget that as well. Anywho, so yeah, Joe Flacco is in Denver now. To me, this doesn't move the needle for me at all with anybody involved. It's pretty. To me, it's just like a even swap.
I think it's an upgrade.
Slightly. I mean, if
it's the slightest upgrade.
And I guess, like, you know, the most people will say, well, if they draft a speedy receiver, Flacco throws a good deep ball. But he doesn't even throw a very good deep ball anymore. Like, if I'm Denver, I don't know why you do this when you can just sign Tyrod Taylor for half the money. And
who does throw a good
throw a beautiful deep ball. And he's going to be more productive. He can move. He's not injury prone. I know he got hurt this year, but he lost his job to Baker. But he would probably only missed a couple weeks, like, on a normal team. To me, Elway is a absolute buffoon for this move. I mean, does he really think he's going to trade Case Keenum somewhere? Like, who's going to take Case Keenum? Why are you going to eat that dead money?
Him. Yeah, it's like $10 million dead money.
They're going to draft Drew Lock at 10. He'll be under Flacco for a year. Cool.
I like that move, though, in the long term, because I think Drew Lock has a ton of talent. And with the whole Josh Allen thing, I mean, they are very comparable. Him and Josh Allen. Josh Allen is probably more physically gifted in arm talent and
QB1 other Josh abilities. Allen.
Yeah. I think Elway is literally just like, okay, I need to cover all areas so I can have a quarterback, because he lucked out with Peyton Manning. He's getting a veteran in Flacco. He'll have Case Keenum probably still on the roster. Maybe, who knows? And then if they draft Drew Lock, he's got three quarterbacks. If you get three of those wrong, yeah, you're done. Like, that's it.
Do you think if Chad Kelly wasn't a knucklehead?
I think he would have started at least a handful of games last year. Completely agreed. They would probably be making different decisions at this point.
Yeah.
On the field, I think Chad Kelly's very highly talented. It's just he's a complete knucklehead and showed it over and over and over. And he got himself booted off an NFL team. He was literally weeks away from probably getting a start in the
NFL.
He
was awesome in the preseason.
He screwed it all up for himself.
I loved watching him in the preseason.
Was glorious. Yeah. Kicked out of Von Miller's party. Went to the neighbors.
Yeah. If you're dead set on drafting a quarterback, let's say, you know, Drew, and you want him to learn from a, we'll say, middling veteran, would you want one that doesn't have much playoff or Super Bowl on his resume? Or at least you have Joe Flacco who has that playoff run in his past, a couple playoff runs in his past that, you know, hopefully he can learn a little bit more from Flacco than he could elsewhere.
I'm going to counter that argument and saying he was absolutely horrible with Lamar Jackson and helping him out. I mean, he hated.
They could play. They could play two completely.
Well,
different
that and Joe is obviously spiteful that they drafted him in the first round. Yeah. So I get that.
Yeah, but the fact that he wasn't like, okay, I get it. I'm almost 35.
At this point, Joe has had to have swallowed that bitter pill, and if he hasn't, that's on Joe.
Was it jagged though? That's what the world wants to know. Was it a jagged little pill?
We would hope so. Yeah. I mean, that was a platinum album. So, how ironic.
One of Canada's best contributions to the world, Alanis Morissette.
And hockey.
She was married to who? Ryan Reynolds.
Was she?
Someone Google.
What a pull if she was. I mean, he's a stud.
I want to say she was married to Ryan Reynolds. I mean, they're both Canadian. Someone look this up, Tyler.
I mean, there's only like four people up there, right?
So
she had to be married to one of the other two dudes.
I'm going
to
do a sidebar. You guys can fast forward a little bit. Sidebar. I watched Blade 3 the other day when Ryan Reynolds was
in it. It's like pre-Deadpool.
Exactly. He got Deadpool because of that movie.
Oh, yeah. Easily. He's definitely. You know what makes me so mad about that movie is that it wasn't about Blade.
No.
And I love Triple H's cameo in that movie. It was great.
It was pretty good.
Oh, he's got the little dog. Like, it was good.
But, okay, going back to Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. Kareem Hunt in the Listener League, Tim, I don't know if you saw this. I bought for $206 in a 16-team league, Kareem Hunt. I think that's worth it because I do think the Cleveland Browns trade him. I do think he is just a chess piece in how to get more assets on that team. Yeah, it may only be a fourth or fifth round pick, but they got that for just $1 million when they signed Carlos Hyde to a 3-year deal for $15 million, I think, and they got a fifth round pick for it. So they're not scared to sign and then trade somebody midseason. We've seen it before. So the whole panicking that Kareem Hunt's like, oh, he's a hometown guy, this is where the incident happened. It's John Dorsey. It's his dude. I don't believe any of that stuff. I just think it's pure business. Mm-hmm. And I just think, you know, John Dorsey can also be helping him out by saying, hey, we'll sign you because no other team's willing to. And then we'll trade you to a team to get yourself back into the game.
Yeah, that's what I think the Browns are doing. They understand that if he can come in and he's the best guy in the backfield, then they can use him. And I don't think he will be. I think that they really do like Chubb a lot.
I think they like Duke Johnson,
too. They hit there.
I think Johnson's gone, by the way. Just a
that you're going to be able, you know, hey, we brought you in. We gave you the, you know, we opened the door for you to get back in the league. You know, you took a little bit of a hometown discount as the Cleveland kid. We're going to move you for value now. We're going to gain something out of signing.
Or they sign Le'Veon Bell and they straight up say running backs matter.
speaking of signing,
that would be so Browns.
Do we think anyone's going to sign Demaryius Thomas, who was released by the Houston Texans this past week? Do we even think he's in the league this year?
He was pretty washed before the injury.
If Dez Bryant, a healthy Dez Bryant, can't find a team, do we think a Demaryius Thomas
coming off an Achilles
in Achilles is going to be able to find one?
No. Personally, I think if he does, it'll be mid-season, late season, kind of like Dez was, and then it's to a team that has just been destroyed with injuries, like a team that is making a big playoff push, like Patriots. They would be the typical team to sign him on a veteran minimum deal and put him right in the slot or just short pass on the outside and just see what he's got.
Tyler, they already have a Hall of Fame player in the slot, okay?
The beardless wonder now?
He is a handsome gentleman. I got to give him credit.
Yeah.
All right. So let's... hey, just a side note. This past week was Valentine's Day. No, we don't have an ad to throw at you right now. It's not a transition. But did you guys see the NFL Valentine's Day cards? Those are just absolute gold.
Oh, they're delightful.
Every single year.
One of my favorites is Belichick. We're on the Easter.
We're on to Easter.
The Andy Reid, I promise I last longer than I do in the playoffs.
Let's kick it on Valentine's Day.
Oh.
Yeah.
So speaking of ads, we do have a little snippet. Trophy Smack and Fantasy Champs are now going to be our sponsors. Yes, we're sponsored by both.
Whoa, is that even legal? Is that legal?
It is, because they're under one roof.
Oh.
But that is a different story. So for Fantasy Champs, use code DHH and get yourself 10% off on any of the items. You can get yourself a custom-made jersey for your fantasy league. And the jerseys are sweet. You can choose from multiple colors. Put your team name on it. Choose your own number. Put your name on the back. It's awesome. And then
you know the number 69.
Oh yeah,
ever, absolutely. How many times do people choose that? But we've all got our favorite number. Tim, you know yours is the Jared Allen way, which I don't hate. I love Jared Allen.
My favorite number is 34 for all of you out there. That's Bo Jackson, David Ortiz, and Paul Pierce.
I love David Ortiz.
34, Big Poppy.
One of those guys was great.
I have never figured out my favorite number, but it has always been 19 for hockey.
So Adam Thielen.
Steve Yzerman was one of my favorite hockey players to watch.
He was great.
And I modeled my hockey game after him, so that's a number I always wear during hockey. And so there's a...
Yeah, Adam Thielen.
That'd probably be one. Adam Thielen, yes. You know, I've met him before, right?
Yeah, he's the burger. Hey, show me a good burger place in Manitoba.
Mankato.
Yeah, same thing. Mankato. But, isn't that like the Green Hornets sidekick, Mankato?
I don't know. It's just Kato. Going back to Fantasy Champs, DHH is all you need to know to get your 10% off. Go do that now. And Trophy Smack is the original. You get the 10% off plus the ring when you buy a trophy. And when you use DHH ring, you know, they have been good to us. They are going to be with us again for this year. So that is fantastic to hear. Trophy Smack, you got to go back to the site, get your things, get your trophies. And they have belts now, and they are amazing. They
the fantasy,
are fantastic.
Fantasy belts. If you want to step your league up a notch, if you want to, if you want to go from a tier two league to a tier one league, you go with a fantasy championship belt because you can have the plates, you can take them off and get them engraved. What I did with mine, because I'm not that fancy, but you can do it, is I actually wrote mine in like a nice silver paint pen on the back, and I wrote the league champion in the year, and I kept track of it that way, which was really cool. So you can do that too.
Yeah, that's not a bad way to do it.
Yeah,
not it's an
affordable
paint marker wear off.
No, if it's paint pen or if you do like a silver Sharpie, I mean, if you sit there and rub it, like it'll come off. But no, you just, if you just leave it and you display it nicely, you'll be good to go. So speaking of tier jumping, Tyler, are we ready to move on?
I just want to say the belts, I mean, go check them out, and they're very reasonably priced. I think it's $135 for a belt, which is very good. I feel like that's a very good price for a belt when you go look around and they're like $200 elsewhere.
Yeah.
The Trophy Smack has also come out with a bunch of things. They're asking people to vote on things they need to come out with. There's like a knuckle, like a brass knuckle style type ring. There's grills.
Seriously?
There's the beer hat. There's a beer hat, and then there's a necklace. So they're trying to get people's advice on what should come out. So go check out Trophy Smack at Trophy Smack and go vote on these things. I voted for the beer helmet, which would be pretty sweet.
I would rock a grill, but only if it had fangs. Does anyone remember the group Gravediggers? Please, Tim. Help.
Yes.
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 Give me a grill with fangs on it. I'm there. And this will be the only fantasy football podcast you ever hear make a Gravediggers reference, just for the record.
Probably.
I know J Mike is nodding his head as he's listening. I love you, J Mike.
But yeah, go check out both sites: Fantasy Champs, Trophy Smack, Trophy Smack DHH Ring, Fantasy Champs, DHH. Go check them out. And of course, we still got Sit or Start, which we all love and you guys all know about. All
right. Well, let's kick this up a notch. We are getting ready for 25 and under. We're gonna start with Tim. Because you know what? Tyler just talked for a while. I chipped in, and I want to hear Tim's beautiful, beautiful pipes. So, Tim.
Yeah, I was digging through some pictures trying to find.
So before
a picture
Tim,
to throw in
no, I'm kidding.
Typical. Oh, look, it's typical Tyler. Here he comes. That's his superhero power.
Welcome back,
the
Tyler.
Interrupter.
The signature move.
It's me, the interrupter.
what's my kryptonite then?
Somebody that just barrels through it, just keeps going. Like, pretend you're not even there.
Just waiting, like,
son of a bitch.
All right, Tim, kick us off all proper, like.
I hate you guys so much.
All right, so my first player, Tyler, focus. Focus, Tyler. My first player on my top 25 under 25 is Mr. Christian Kirk, wide receiver, Arizona Cardinals. We do know that Larry is going to be back again next year. But Christian, you know, for rookies, had a very solid season. He was number 57 overall in PPR scoring, played in 12 games, 43 catches, 590 yards, only three scores. I'd like to see the touchdowns come up a little bit more. Another year under Larry's belt. I think Christian is going to build rapport with whoever the quarterback's going to be there. You know, we have those rumors that the Arizona Cardinals are interested in trading away their starting quarterback and maybe drafting somebody that they like a little bit more. But I think Christian Kirk is poised to take that next step up and grow from his rookie season, go from that number 57 range in PPR scoring up to that, you know, that 24 to 36 range, be that wide receiver three for you on your fantasy team and be a more startable option instead of that bye week fill-in or injury type guy. So I like him to step up and grow in his second season.
I like Kirk making the jump. Tyler, let's move on to you.
Yeah,
I'm just going to pick off a random player on my list, and let's go with Hunter Henry, because I've heard a lot of comparisons to Austin
Hunter
Hooper.
Henry.
I forgot what podcast it is on, but they said Austin Hooper is who we wished Hunter Henry would turn out to be. And I hope to God that's not how far Hunter Henry has fallen. But then I do, because then he's an easy buy.
I am.
He's a guy that's coming off an ACL injury. Yes, he's had some fluke injuries, but man, with that offense and how it looked this year, and how even Antonio Gates was getting a lot of play, more play than I thought, he is going to be a focal point in this offense. They're going to have Mike Williams. They're going to have Keenan Allen, of course. They're going to have Melvin Gordon. And then now Hunter Henry. How many one-on-ones is this guy going to get? Especially in that conference where the defenses aren't as good. You got Oakland. You got Kansas City. And then you got Denver. Like, I don't see a very tough defense in any of those three. And the Broncos are probably the toughest. And I think they're getting a lot weaker. So Hunter Henry is a buy for me. And I think he's going to be a top five tight end this year if he stays healthy.
All right. Are you guys ready to have your minds completely blown off your shoulders? So this player, this player isn't he qualifies because he's currently 25 years old. He doesn't turn 26 until when the season is underway. This player, now he's not really in a tier. He was probably wide receiver 157. But there's been some buzz about this player coming back with the team that he's on. He signed there. He was in Washington for a cocaine heartbeat, and then he went to Cleveland. Rashad Perryman is only 25 years old, guys. I know it's hard to believe. We all make jokes that he's 40, and he may look the part. But Rashad Perryman, to me, is someone that can make a tier jump. And I'm not saying he's going to be a wide receiver three, but I'm saying he could be a reliable bench piece for you and maybe even start when the matchups are good. Because, you know, you've got the wide receiver depth chart. You know, they've obviously kept Freddie Kitchens there. They have Landry, who's going to ideally get the most targets. You've got Callaway, and then you've got Rashard Higgins, who's a restricted free agent, and then you have Rashad Perryman. So Perryman, you know, his high in targets for the season was only six, but two out of his last four games, he went over 75 yards, and he had two touchdowns in his last four games. So he had some momentum. Now, granted, the most targets he had 2, 2, 4, and 4. So he didn't have a huge sample size as far as targets go, but to me, he looked like an NFL player. Now, that's saying something considering his first couple years in the league where he was a running joke. And now I think he's ready to contribute in a rising Cleveland Brown offense in a situation where he could be a starter for them. So I like Rashad Perryman. I mean, you could get him easily, maybe even as a free agent in your league right now, or as a throw-in in a trade, or, you know, a late fourth round pick. And if the Browns commit to him with a multi-year deal, to me, that is going to get my antenna raised about Rashad Perryman in the hopes that he can finally become a fantasy asset and a really solid, at least bench piece for you going forward. So that's mine. Yes, shockingly still 25 years old.
I have actually used Rashad Perryman as a throw-in piece on deals this offseason, trying to collect him.
Hells,
up. Just for that simple
hells
fact.
Hells, yeah. So let's go back to Tim. He's got a little bit more of a better player to talk about than I did.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to talk current status, I would say yeah. Courtland Sutton, arguably the top receiver in last year's class. I really, really liked Courtland Sutton coming out of college. I thought he should have came out a year before he actually did. But last year, he was the number 50 receiver in PPR scoring, according to fantasypros.com. But we just kind of spoke about the Joe Flacco thing. I don't think Joe helps Courtland, but I think it's the long play here. You're getting Courtland now because he's going to grow into his second year. I think the bigger jump comes year three and four. So you're buying him now off the, you know, PPR wide receiver 50 scoring, and then you're in 2-3 years, you're going to have that wide receiver one, wide receiver two, you know, in your back pocket there to do what you will with off your bench or in your starting lineups.
Yeah.
So I like Courtland Sutton now. Grab him still while he's young and he hasn't exploded yet.
He reminds me of somebody who's going to go on that Corey Davis type path, a guy who's going to have a meh first year. Second year, it's going to be around 800. And eight maybe, and then the third year you hope to see that jump. And yeah, like Corey
or
Davis, I don't think he's
on. He's Devontae Parker.
Don't you dare put that on him, Ricky Bobby.
Trust me, I own him in Dynasty. I don't want that to happen.
he's going to be that guy that rides that roller coaster that every time he has a string of bad games, the stock will slowly drop. And then the second he has a big game, it just shoots.
So Amari Cooper.
Back up.
Yeah, exactly. You got to ride the roller coaster a little bit on players like that. Absolutely. Yep. So, Tyler, back to you, sir.
All right, I'm going to go with a quarterback here, and it's Sam Darnold. And the end of the year, woof, Darnold was en fuego. For all the people that don't know Spanish, that means on fire. And he is a quarterback that had a crazy second half of the year. He was injured. People were so down on him. He was throwing picks left and right. He had the most interceptions, I think, by a quarterback in the NFL for a while until he got hurt, so he couldn't throw anymore. And then he comes back and just dominates. And he was a quarterback one. I can't remember the stat, but I think it was three of the last games he was a quarterback one or so. I'm not sure, but I heard it on a podcast. He was a quarterback one the later part of the year. But Darnold is a guy that I had stamped as my quarterback one of the class ahead of Baker. And he seems to have it. You know, when you watch guys like Baker, he's got the star power, a guy that just is flashy, everybody loves. And you can just see he's going to be a good quarterback. Same with Darnold. He's a guy that it doesn't matter what happens. If he throws a pick, he doesn't get rattled or anything. He's just going to go out there and just do what he does. And it's just going to be compete. And he's getting better. He was the youngest starting quarterback in the NFL history last year. So he's very young. He's going to learn. That offense is going to get more weapons.
They got a lot
Doug's
of cap
talk about. Doug's going to talk about a player on the team that he is a big fan of. So Darnold is a guy that I love to take the jump. And he, I think, is going to be a top 10 quarterback by the end of the year.
Love it. Guys, what if I told you there was a player in the NFL that touched the ball 47 times and he had 7 total touchdowns? Would you guys be interested in a player like that?
No.
No? Okay.
No.
What if I told you if I scoured the league and his comp to me is one of the best, well, not necessarily best receiver, but one of the most productive fantasy receivers in Tyreek Hill. He also wears the same number. Coincidence? Maybe. But I am investing heavily, and I mean heavily, into Curtis Samuel this offseason. The electricity he has. Now, I know Tyreek Hill's with Patrick Mahomes, but he even did it with Alex Smith. Cam Newton doesn't look like he's going to miss any time, so he should be back. Devin Funchess is a free agent. I don't think they're going to bring in a big-name receiver or anything like that. I think Curtis Samuel has the chance to jump from a low-end wide receiver 3 type for you and jump into that next tier to be a low-end wide receiver 2. And he might even have some wide receiver 1 weeks. Because if there's any player that has the type of capabilities that Tyreek Hill does, Curtis Samuel ran a 4.33 at the combine. A lot of people forget that. 7 touchdowns on 37 touch or on 47 touches. Yeah, that's eye-opening to me. And I love me getting some Curtis Samuel.
Now, what were his injuries? Because if I can remember, I think his injuries were more...
He had a heart issue this year. So
yes.
He had an abnormal heartbeat, and he missed a few weeks, and then he was cleared, and it wasn't an issue after that.
Yes, so the injury thing... When you think of Curtis Samuel and how much he's played, you think he's injury-prone, but that's actually quite opposite.
He played
13
games this season.
Yeah, and... The thing you got to remember about him in Ohio State, he played a lot of running backs, so you got to know he's very good after the catch. And
he averaged 10 yards a rush this year, too.
Yeah. From what I saw this year, is he is a very, very good contested catch player. And there was a lot of balls that Newton, because we obviously know he was hurt, Newton kind of tossed up, and Samuel kind of got in the right position and went up and got the ball.
You know who else does? You know who else does really well with that at the guy of that size? Tyreek Hill does really well at that at a guy his size.
Yeah.
Just saying. I draw a lot of comparisons to the two players. Obviously, Tyreek Hill has been phenomenal, but I think if there was a guy that was going to not break out to the stratosphere like Hill did, I think Samuel is that guy for me. And I would say, like, you know, Jakeem Grant would be cute because he's small, but we don't know what's going on with Miami's quarterback situation. And we haven't seen it outside of, like, some kick returns. But Samuel, I've seen him rush the ball. I've seen him run clean routes better than a lot of people think he can. So yeah, give me all the Curtis Samuel. Let's go back to you, Tim. I know you're a Samuel guy as well. We've both been investing in him this offseason. So
yeah, you actually turned me more and more on Samuel as the year went on. So
wow, you turned my next him, guy Doug. Is congrats.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah. Is not nearly as a deep dive as Curtis Samuel. Many people have already expressed their love interest with Mr. Kenny Golladay. But here's my argument for him and why I think he's a guy to invest in still now. He was the number 21 wide receiver in PPR scoring last year. But he played through injuries in the back half of the season. He played in a failing offense. They're going to install a new offense. They're going to get things righted there in Detroit, I feel. Kerryon Johnson's only going to help Matt Stafford in the passing game. And Golladay is going to mature into that alpha number one receiver there for Matt to lean on. This year he saw 119 targets. He caught 70 of them for over 1,000 yards and 5 scores. Again, I want to see that 5 jump up to that 7-8 range, that 1,063 yards jump up to the 1,200 range. And Kenny should get about 130, 140 targets in an offense if he can stay healthy. So I like Kenny Golladay to go from that middle wide receiver 2 to be the top end wide receiver 2 around the 13, 14 range. Or even as down as far as, 8, 9, 10. I think he could be a back end wide receiver 1. I really do.
I like it. Tyler, back to you.
What if I told you there's a guy that Joe Flacco is going to absolutely love in Denver?
Oh, God, it's got to be a tight end.
Is it going to be Jake Butt?
Did they sign Heap?
Oh. No, it's actually Deshaun Hamilton is a guy I am liking.
I love it.
I'm liking a lot. He's a guy that you guys all know I have been all over since he was a rookie, a guy that I've absolutely loved. And let's go over his last 4 games of the year when he was a starter. 9 targets, 12 targets, 9 targets, 8 targets.
Oh, you mean a PPR guy?
He is a target hog. And I do think he can play outside. But as a slot receiver, he is a times 10 better player than what Crabtree was this year. And Crabtree got some play, but I mean, they hardly had anybody. But Hamilton is a guy that I love this year with Joe Flacco. I think they are actually going to work well together because Hamilton also is quite faster than you think. So I love Hamilton here. I think he actually might outproduce Courtland Sutton. I just think he might even be a better player because he's just
more versatile.
He's a refined route runner. He knows the ins and outs of playing a receiver, and Courtland Sutton, we all know, was a defensive player.
We talked to Sutton about more of the Corey Davis timeline.
Yeah.
I see Deshaun Hamilton as playing more of that Jarvis Landry type.
Oh.
That catch after catch after catch down the field, and when they get down there, they get around the 20, 25-yard line, then they'll start looking for Sutton on the go up and get it plays.
There's that Devontae Parker comp again. Damn it.
Son of a bitch.
That's why you tried training him to me for 102.
What are you doing?
You're so worried about Parker being, all right, worried about Sutton being Parker. Now I see where you're trying.
I'm showing my hand a little bit. Like, I'm not a very good magician. So my next player is at the running back position. He currently backs up James Conner, who I like a lot. And I think James Conner, he's typically somewhere in round 2 in startups right now. I love James Conner's story, as does everyone else. But, he's had some injury histories, not only when he was at Pittsburgh, outside of the whole, fighting cancer. I get that. He's had some injuries. He got injured last year. And in Jalen Samuels, he started 3 games while Conner was out. His best game was against New England, 19 carries for 142 yards. His other start, he only averaged 2.5 yards a carry against Oakland, which I remember rostering him in DFS that week and being very upset. But he did have 7 receptions for 64 yards. This is a guy that he's not, in college he was a Swiss Army knife. He played more tight end than running back. But from what I saw out of Jalen Samuels is a guy that if James Conner goes down, he has all the capability to potentially be a rock solid RB2 with even more upside in an offense, which, let's be honest, it's going to change. There's not going to be Antonio Brown next year, most likely. We don't know what's going to happen at the wide receiver position outside of Juju and James Washington in year two. So Jalen Samuels, even if Connor is healthy, they could work Jalen Samuels into the offense a lot more than people think. I mean, typically, Pittsburgh is one running back all the time, just like they were with Le'Veon, just like they were with Connor. But the way that their team dynamic is changing, maybe they want to use Connor and Samuels together. And to pay a price of maybe a late second round pick, I think might get you Jalen Samuels right now. I think I would pay that because from what I saw, his upside has potential to be very, very large. Do you think that's the right price for Jalen Samuels, like a late second? Do you think you could get him for that or maybe even a little bit later possibly?
Yeah, I think you'd probably have to pay more because of what he did at the end of the season. Yeah.
Okay.
Because we're all a lot of people are still looking at recency the end of the bias. Season just being recency bias and seeing. I think you could get Connor for probably a better price at the moment than Samuel. I'm not saying same price. I'm saying for the ability to be able to buy
based off their value.
Yeah.
I mean, Connor, I mean, if we're talking Nick Chubb's the 1-1, Connor's got to be what, like the 1-2 or 3, right?
I'd say 105. Just because.
Really?
Rookie. I honestly think. Really? Think so. I mean, it depends on the league and who you play with. And if you have people that actually look at the more recent future than what you saw at the beginning of the year with Connor.
Okay.
But yeah, and of course you're gonna have that rookie fever come in, and people are just gonna be all bonkers over the rookies. That's you know, combine's true. Coming up in 2 weeks, so we'll have to see after that, and when people just start freaking out over DK Metcalf and how
he is huge.
He is.
You mean that linebacker that's gonna play wide receiver for somebody?
Do we think that if he runs a sub 4.4, Twitter just explodes?
They'll lose their mind.
Yeah. Oh my God. Oh God. If he has magical wide receiver type numbers,
people are gonna call him Julio Jones. Is what they're gonna do.
So, P.S. I watched his tape before that picture even came out, and I moved him to 103. Mm-hmm. And it's all because of the plays he can make. And there's nobody else in this draft.
The picture scares me actually.
He scares the crap out of me, but he's got the most upside in this draft by far. He is not the safest, but he is a guy that, wow, like he is going to destroy the combine and he's going to get drafted very high.
All right. Let's get back to Tim. We don't want to get on too much of a tangent. So Tim, back to you.
Okay. My next guy, I'm going to get off wide receivers here for a bit and go to tight end, OJ Howard. What concerns me a little bit about OJ Howard is the new head coach and his previous lack of use of tight end. What I do like is the new head coach and his dedication to Jameis Winston and Jameis Winston's dedication to his tight ends. Now, OJ Howard came on the scene as a rookie. A lot of upside. We saw some of that flash the first year. But he played in less games the second year, and his stats went up. Mm-hmm. I mean, he went from 26 catches to 34. Yardage went from 432 to 565. And he missed his touchdown mark of 6 from his rookie year by 1 at 5. So playing in 4 less games, OJ Howard actually increased his fantasy points total for you. Tight end 14 overall in a very, very bad year for tight ends. I get it. But OJ Howard, if he could stay healthy, play the full slate of games with Jameis's track record of throwing to his tight ends, despite the system, I think OJ Howard is going to be a tight end 1. Year in and year out for you. Just athletically, the guy has to be there. Go out and get OJ Howard, especially off that not a very memorable season. I think you can get him for a discount here, and it's going to pay dividends for you down the road.
I agree with that take, Tim. Tyler, back to you.
You talked about Curtis Samuel being a wide receiver you're targeting in Carolina, and I'm going to go back to a guy I love, and DJ Moore. He's a guy I'm going to target and have somebody who's going to go up in a tier. He had 55 for 788 and 2. I do think he's going to have more touchdowns, even though I think once they get in the red zone, they're probably going to go away from him because until he kind of gets moved around a little more, and push more into the slot and has the small slant routes, I think his touchdowns are probably going to stay around the 4, 5, 6 maybe. But I do think he's going to be a big yardage guy, a guy who's going to go over 1,000 this year. I mean, he had 82 targets. You think if he gets some of Funchess's targets, he's going to be in the upper, like, what, 100 and 110, 105 or so. So if he had 82, he's going to have more targets. I think the yardage will be there. He's already only 200 yards away from being a 1,000-yard receiver this year. DJ Moore is ultra-talented. He's still got to smooth out the edges. He had some moments where he's a little rough, but him after the catch is outstanding. I mean, you actually have people say that he's a better ball carrier with the ball in his hand than Christian McCaffrey, and that's saying a lot. Like, DJ Moore, what he did on some of the screens, he's impossible to tackle after the, like, if you try to line him up, he's nearly impossible to tackle. He's got strong balance. He's got good juke moves. There's a lot he can do after the catch.
Yeah, I like DJ Moore quite a bit, so I agree with that one. I am going to give you a player that you may have to Google, because I think that if things break right for this player, Kyle Rudolph is a free agent. Not a free agent. They could cut him with no dead cap money at like $7 million, and I could definitely see them doing that. If the Minnesota Vikings do not draft a tight end in the first few rounds, I think it's pretty safe to say that you could see Tyler Conklin go from a player who in a 30-man league is probably rostered, but going from a tight end that had, I think he had five catches for 77 yards all of last year. But athletically, he tests out pretty good. You know, a lot of people had him ranked higher than Ian Thomas going into the process. And then the opportunity for Ian Thomas last year presented itself when Greg Olsen went down with an injury. Conklin showed some promise at the end of the season. Now, he had a couple drops that I remember watching some of the Vikings games. There was one really bad one, but athletically he tested really well. So I could see Tyler Conklin going from a tight end nobody to being at least a tight end two on your roster, given the opportunity. Now, if they draft a tight end in the first 3 or 4 rounds, this might be a moot point. But this is the kind of guy that you can pick up for free. And he could potentially be a starting tight end in the league next year. And we all know that, you know, Kyle Rudolph may not have had a great year last year, but he was a tight end one. And Kirk Cousins traditionally likes to go to his tight ends. So maybe Tyler Conklin, it's the best Tyler in Minnesota from what I've heard, is Tyler Conklin. So I'm just saying that here's a guy that you never know. And I would take a shot on him rostering him and just holding him. And maybe it works out. Maybe it doesn't. But I like this guy to jump into being a nice depth piece and maybe a tight end two even on your roster.
Yeah, you know, he's a basketball player.
I'd like to hold any Tyler from Minnesota. Just hold him close.
I wasn't a basketball player, though. So
Tyler Conklin was, sure. So he must be good.
Yeah.
Let's go back to Tim.
Okay, guys, I'm going off script here. I know on my list I put Juju, but I feel shame. Doug shamed me. Once again, he's turned to me. I'm off of Juju. I'm going to the teammate. I'm going to Mr. Washington. And here's why. I mean, you know what Juju is. You know he's going to be the one if Antonio's not around, which it clearly looks like Bell's going to be bye-bye as well. So Ben's favorite target's going to be Juju, obviously. But everybody knows that. So what about Mr. Washington? Mr. Washington did not put up a ton of fantasy points in his rookie year, but let's remember he's a very athletic young man. And towards the end of the season, we started to see steady. It wasn't big-time numbers, but he saw steady targets for the last 5 to 6 weeks of the season, 3 to 4 targets a game. Ben and him were starting to build a relationship, and we saw that at the end of the season.
After Ben crashed it. Hey, you're terrible, but I love you.
But he's been known to do that before. So as long as James can pick up some more things that Ben likes, maybe buy him his favorite ice cream.
Is it Ben and Jerry's, perhaps?
Get out. Hey, not get out ice cream right now.
Now his favorite ice cream is going to be Ben and James.
Ben and James. See, there you go. Maybe he can get like a you know, a personalized little cup.
So I also want to add, Washington, you got to remember, on a lot of people's list, he was my number one receiver. He was third overall in my rankings, my pre-combine rankings. And Zach from the Dummies, his wide receiver won as well. Me and him were probably the two highest people I've seen on James Washington. And he's a guy that's ultra talented. He won the Biletnikoff. So he's super talented. You can't forget that. He was a second round pick still. Yeah, don't give up on the guy. Just
the Steelers really liked him. A lot of the fantasy people out there really liked him. Tyler especially. He's ultra, ultra, ultra athletic. And like Tyler said, Biletnikoff Award winners do not miss very often, if ever.
So you might want to double check that list. It's like
there's a Doug Eddy on there. It's if you look, there's
no. It's like I looked at it not too long ago, and it's like it's more of like a 60-40, 50-50, depending on what you deem as success. So I'm just putting that out there. So let's shoot it back to the second best Tyler in Minnesota.
God, I can't even. I'm gonna go off of somebody that brings me happiness and joy, and that is Mark Andrews. I would have put Hayden Hurst, but you can't even put him on the under the 25 and under list.
he's like 58 years old. So,
so we put down his successor in Mark Andrews, who seems to be a tight end that is Lamar Jackson's favorite target. He had 50 targets, 34 receptions, 552 yards, and 3 touchdowns, and he really heated up at the end of the year when he started to get more playing time on the field. You know, Hayden Hurst was off, sign up for AARP, and you had the other, the Boyle, and he was pretty much popped. But Mark Andrews is a guy that has been just on the rise. He's a guy that, yes, even Scott Fish, the man Scott Fish, loves. So you've got to open at least one of your eyes to that. By the way, Scott, you ain't getting him off my teams in Pigs 3. And he's just a guy that I still feel like is very underrated, a guy that people are kind of overlooking as just, oh, okay, a second round. You can get him for a late second. And I would do that every day. He was a lot of people's tight end one this time last year, mm-hmm. coming out of Oklahoma. He was Baker's favorite target for a reason. And I loved what I saw out of him. He's one of my biggest buys this offseason and in season last year. So give me all the Mark Andrews and forget being the second best Tyler in Minnesota.
Nice. So I'm gonna my next player, you know, everyone loves Tariq Cohen, and I get it. Like, he had a good rookie season, you know, year two was an improvement over year one, and he flashed. You know, I think a lot of people forget what Nyheim Hines did in his rookie year. I think he's top 10 all time in rookie receptions at running back. He had 63 catches last year. Now, he didn't do a lot of noise on the ground. He had 85 carries. The most he had in a game was 15 against New England. And he didn't do much with that. And then he had some really ugly games down the stretch. He had a 4 carry for 5 yard, 3 for 1, 2 for 2, 1 for 4 in 4 out of his last 5 games. So that may leave a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths, but to me, you know, he looked like a rookie running the football. But when it came to pass catching, Nyheim Hines looked natural. We all know that he's got track speed. He was the fastest player at the combine last year, I think. So Nyheim Hines has track speed. You know, I don't think the Colts are going to go out and sign a Le'Veon Bell or a big free agent. I think they're going to roll with what they have. I think they like Jordan Wilkins, they like Marlon Mack, and they like Nyheim Hines. Those guys really complement each other really well. And, you know, Marlon Mack had an injury history. I'm not as big of a Marlon Mack guy as some people are. Now, I know he had some big games at the end of the season, and I don't think Nyheim Hines is a 10 to 15 carry guy either. But for the price that you can get Nyheim Hines at, I think that, you know, he could make the jump from a bench player to a flex play in your dynasty leagues. You know, 63 receptions in a PPR league is nothing to sneeze at, and I think he has upside, where he could be. Maybe, you know, Tariq Cohen made the jump from year one to year two. I think we could see the same thing with Nyheim Hines, and he's going to be much cheaper than trying to get Tariq Cohen in your dynasty leagues. So yeah. I like Nyheim Hines quite a bit to make that jump from the bench to the flex position.
So I think Nyheim Hines actually has Sam Bradford shoulder pads that he's needed, because every time I watch Nyheim Hines, his shoulder pads are gigantic compared to what he actually looks like when you saw him in the combine. Mm. But yeah, Sam Bradford and him swap shoulder pads. No, wait, it's Michael, God, what's his name? Eagles. Sam Bradford had big shoulder pads. I'm thinking of the guy without shoulder pads, and that would be the Philadelphia
Michael
Eagles.
Michael Bennett.
Michael Bennett.
Yeah, he has like Girl Scout cookies for shoulder pads.
By the way, Girl Scout cookies.
Thin Mints.
Best ones. Go.
Samoas, hands down.
Get out of here with the coconut.
I love me some coconut.
The peanut butter ones.
Those are
tagalongs. So I can't do peanut butter.
I have a new favorite.
Yeah. Oh, do tell.
The lemonades.
You going lemon?
The lemonades.
All right. I haven't had them, so I can't judge.
Amazing.
I'll rock a box of tagalongs in about 3 minutes.
And be a diabetic.
Let's go.
Give me them Samoas.
You got diabetes.
All right, so let's do for this next round. We've got we're kind of up against it as far as time goes. Let's do a little bit of a combo package. So Tim, I want you to empty the clip. Anybody else that you got? Tyler's going to empty the clip, and then I will empty the clip, and we'll wrap this thing up.
Okay, I'm going to empty the clip, but on my last guy, I'm going to take a little bit of time because I got to get some stuff out here. Chris Godwin, super hype last year coming in, but. He's got to. He's just that talented. I love Chris Godwin. Go get him. Josh Allen. I don't think he's done. I think he's going to grow. He's going to get better. The Bills offense, the talent around him has to get better. He's got to get better receivers. He's got to get a better running back in there. Nothing against McCoy, but they got to get more talent in there. So Josh Allen. My last guy, we talked a little bit about him earlier, Nick Chubb. I'm not scared of Kareem Hunt coming in. He was PFF's highest graded running back through week 17 last year. This kid is for real. Nick Chubb. Let me break down. Weeks 1 through 4. Okay, he averaged 14.6 yards. Or I'm sorry, yeah, 14.6 yards per carry. But he had that huge, like, 3 carries for 105 game in there. Yeah. So we're going to take that out. Weeks 5 through 8, 4.1 yards per carry. Weeks 9 through 12, 4.76 yards per carry. The last 4 weeks of the season, 4.95. The guy got better as the year went on. He's only going to get stronger. Yep. He averaged over 5 yards a carry in his rookie season in the NFL. The kid's a stud. Go get Nick Chubb.
He's so good.
He's at a discounted rate right now. Go get him. He's going to pay out for you either in fantasy points or value on another trade down the line. Go get yourself Nick Chubb.
He's so good.
Clips out.
He's so good. All right, I'm going to empty out. We talked about Nyheim Hines. I'm going to go with the counterpart, which I do think they work very well together. Nyheim Hines and Marlon Mack, I think they complement each other very well.
Like peanut butter and jelly?
And tuna fish. Oh. The lamb and tuna fish. He had 195 carries, 908 yards, and 9 touchdowns. I know he was injured a lot. I think he missed like 4 games, which is crazy to think with those numbers. But if he can stay healthy behind that very turnaround offensive line with the beast, Quentin Nelson, Marlon Mack's going to have another very good year, possibly an low-end RB 1 year, so I do think he makes a leap. My next is going to be Will Fuller. Man, if this man can stay healthy, can he catch 20-plus touchdowns? I think it could be done. Randy Moss who?
If, yeah. Oh, boy.
You guys all know I love Will Fuller. I think he's very underrated. And, yeah, he has a lot of injuries. And that ACL, I didn't even see anything really move that much for him to tear his ACL. But when he is on the field, he is outstanding. And I think he helps out DeAndre Hopkins as much as Hopkins helps him out. So give me all the Will Fuller. I think if he can stay healthy, he is a wide receiver, too, and a very good wide receiver, too, for you. And – last but not least, how can we not talk about Dalvin Cook here? The man got better at the end of the year when they switched offensive coordinators. The same offensive coordinator is back. But yet, the man that was in Denver, Kubiak, who ran a scheme that fits Dalvin Cook to a T, is going to be helping out the offense. Dalvin Cook, if if he is anything what he was at the end of the year, is going to be an RB1. And he's going to be a huge part in the passing. Are you guys excited as for Dalvin Cook as I am? Because I have no words for how pumped I am.
Of course, I mean, we are the two, outside of Halal, we are like the two biggest Dalvin Cook stands that I know. And I will tell you this. If I'm sitting down watching the NFL draft and the Vikings draft in their first four rounds, they draft three offensive linemen, I'm going to be even more excited.
Their first round pick has been slated to be a center so they can move Elflein to guard.
Yeah. So if they invest heavily into the offensive line, it's the chart graph up for the whole offense.
Yes. Kubiak did great things with Denver when he was there. He helped out that offensive line that was kind of just people you really never heard of, and they became bigger names. Mm-hmm. And the Vikings are already talking about signing offensive linemen during free agency, some big names. They're looking to move Elflein to guard, where he actually plays better at guard. He can just go right after it. He's a strong man, very good guard. So, yeah, Dalvin Cook, especially in this scheme, is going to be Arian Foster-ish.
I would love that. Give me 1,500 yards and 12 touchdowns at least.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be awesome. And he is at a discount because a lot of people are just off of Cook.
Yeah, because they're like, oh, injuries, but. So I am going to... Are you done emptying the clip, Tyler?
Yes.
Okay. I am going to empty my clip just real quick. So the next player who Tyler alluded to earlier when he talked about Sam Darnold was Robbie Anderson. So Robbie Anderson, you know... 2 years ago, he had 114 targets, put together 7 touchdowns and 941 yards. Last year, he started 9 games, 94 targets, 752 and 6. I think that Robbie Anderson makes the leap, and he goes into 8 to 10 touchdown territory with over 1,000 yards for the first time in his career, and he's a wide receiver too next year. So I think Robbie Anderson, for me, especially, you know, he had some legal trouble, never got suspended. It looks like that's in the clear. So Robbie Anderson, to me, is a strong buy, and especially a guy who can jump another level. The next one, I mean, there's no list in existence that doesn't involve Aaron Jones for me. And I think, you know, Aaron Jones was a solid running back too, and same thing with Tim. Stands. So Aaron Jones, to me, he was a running back too last year when he finally got the start when it was way too late in the season for the Packers. So once McCarthy was gone, you know, Aaron Jones was a starter. I think he has the potential to move up into an RB1 this year. If there's any one of these guys that you don't see coming or that most people don't see coming that can move into an RB1, I think it's Dalvin Cook and I think it's Aaron Jones. I think the situation is right. The talent is right, and I love Aaron Jones making the leap into an RB1 this year.
That's another player that I think Green Bay is looking to kind of revamp their offensive line. If they go offensive line early, like, because first round I think they're going to go defense. If they go second and third round offensive line, that's going to be a telling tale. But if they do go running back in the first four rounds, there might be a little pessimism in me. But
as long as LaFleur doesn't do that and he says, look how good the offense ran when I just dedicated to one running back instead of playing, you know, that two running back game down there in Tennessee, and they just decide Aaron Jones is the best back, we're going to give him the heavy workload till he can't take it no more. Oh,
yeah. I mean, whether he's a tape or a stats guy, I don't care. Look at the tape on Aaron Jones and look at the analytics on Aaron Jones. It's Aaron Jones.
Yeah.
But the only issue with me is he's not his guy. So
I don't give a shit.
That's my only worry will only be is if they take somebody in the first, second, third.
If they
and even
Aaron Jones
early,
is
if they
guy.
If they take someone in the first three rounds, I will scream from the top of the hills to go out and get Aaron Jones. It'll make him that much more affordable, and I don't care. I will try to get Aaron Jones everywhere if that happens because his price will be suppressed and the talent is amazing. So.
The talent's there, yeah.
Yeah. My next one is Jameis Winston. So I didn't have a quarterback. I added him a little bit late.
Love it.
For all the reasons, he's still super young. He's got something to prove if he wants a long-term deal. Obviously, Arians. The interception rate in the back half of the season really went down, and he's got the weapons around him. Jameis is set up to succeed.
It's the visor.
And I think Jameis is going to be a QB1. So I think he makes the leap from a QB2 to a 1. And the next one is in the ilk of Breshad Perriman and Tyler Conklin. I'm here to bring you the guys in the very deep depth of your rosters that could be spot starters or just reliable players for you down the stretch that you can feel safe having these guys. He might be your wide receiver 5 on your roster.
Did you say kitty cannon?
No, yeah, we're gonna shoot kittens out into the crowd.
I feel like explosives.
Hey,
and kittens.
Hey guys, I think the ASPCA is gonna shut us down. Sorry.
Nambling now the ASPCA.
We are ruffling feathers everywhere. So this man, he didn't play at all last year, but he did generate some camp buzz. And I loved watching his tape, and I love how he measured out and his metrics at the combine. His name is Dylan Cantrell. If you haven't watched anything about Dylan Cantrell, just go on YouTube, type his name in. You'll see some highlight videos. He reminds me a lot of, I know they're both white. He reminds me a little bit about Jordy Nelson. And the way that I saw his tape, he looked like if that translates to the NFL, he's going to be a really good pro. Now, Travis Benjamin, probably going to be a cap casualty. We all know Tyrell Williams probably isn't coming back. He's going to get paid from someone. So you got Hunter Henry coming back, and then you're going to have Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. I think Dylan Cantrell could be their wide receiver 3. And I think he could. Yeah. I think he could start for them. Another guy that, hey, bottom of your roster that could be startable when you need him, and he's going to be reliable. So Dylan Cantrell, he's kind of my guy. So I wanted to include him on this list from jumping from a tier. I guess the tier would be like the dumpster behind Arby's to maybe the dumpster behind Wendy's.
That's a pretty classy dumpster. I like Arby's. So
I was gonna say that's a jump.
You know, down. I don't. Yeah.
He went from Wendy's up to Arby's.
So here's the thing. So Arby's, I think, is severely underrated. I enjoy Arby's. If you haven't gotten the brisket sandwich from Arby's, please do. It's amazing.
The Reuben.
Yeah. Here's the problem.
I'm a honk for the Reuben. I go there saying, I'm going to get this or that.
So here's the problem with Arby's. There isn't one in the state of Rhode Island. So that's a problem for me.
That's a crime.
I should probably open one because I could probably make bank.
Hey, Arby's corporate, get on it.
So when when I go up to New Hampshire, there's one in the mall food court. So guess when I eat Arby's is when I'm in New Hampshire.
When you're thinking Arby's. I get it.
Yeah. So that's Dylan Cantrell is going to wrap me up. Yeah, that has been our 25 and under, which is a lot of fun. We're getting right close to an hour. So thank you for joining us this week. We got the original crew. I think we're all going to be back next week, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. We're all going to be back next week. I'll have a new addition to the family, so I'll be a dad again. Woo! As of Thursday. We've got a scheduled C-section, so unless something bizarre happens and she goes early, I will be a dad again. But I'll be back next week. I will need a nice release after the whole having a baby thing because I'm still kind of mentally unprepared for it, I guess you could say.
Yeah, 1-2 is a terror.
Yeah, well, our first son, he's going to be 6, so at least I got an extra set of hands that can help me out, which will be nice. So,
easy.
It'll be good. So we'll be welcoming Ford Eddie into the world on Thursday. So very exciting. But we will see you next week. Make sure you check out Trophy Smack as well as, God damn it, I already forgot their name already.
Fantasy Champs.
Yay, thank you, Tyler, for helping me out here. I was thinking of what a second baby's going to do to my life, and I drew a blank.
You got 2. I'm going to have 3 in August.
Yeah, I pray for you, buddy.
Wrap it up, gents. Good Lord, what is wrong with you and your wieners?
You know, Tyler called me on the phone once, and I felt pregnant. It was weird.
You know, I'm no Joe Pano, though.
Pano is potent. It's Potent Pano is what his name should be.
Yeah.
We love you, Joe, our former co-host.
It literally goes Philip Rivers, Pano, me.
that's legit. I can see that's the comp.
The baby making 103. I like it, Tyler.
Oh, that is going to do it for this week's Dynasty Happy Hour. Thanks for joining us. Make sure you check out dynastyhappyhour.com and leave us a review on iTunes with a 5-star rating, if you would, and give us some feedback on how you like us. And check out our Patreon. We've got some. We're trying to build an empire here, so make sure you join Patreon. It's just $1 a month, $12 a year. There's stupider things. I spend $12 a month on Madden packs.
Arby's.
I wish, you know, I wish I had the ability to spend $12 a month on Arby's, because I would. So make sure you check us out on Patreon as well for a dollar. Gets you an extra episode every single week. It's a little bit more loose, so if you like some language, you like us being silly, it's worth a dollar. Trust me. So check that out. We will see you next week on the Dynasty Happy Hour.
That's all the time we have for Dynasty Happy Hour. If you're looking for more fantasy football advice, be sure and follow the guys on Twitter. Doug at DaFantasyFather, Tim at DHH_Tim, Tyler at DHH_Tyler. Check out DynastyHappyHour.com for rankings, articles, ADP, shirts, and so much more. Need a question answered on the show? Hit the guys up on Twitter at DynastyHHPod, on the contact link on the site, or by email. DHH@DynastyHappyHour.com. Music is brought to you by the Fantasy Hitman, Mike Wright. We'll catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour.